To read a little bit, so Susan will tell you that part of my God DNA, the way He wired me, is I'm a disruptor. So I have a direction. I think. We're going to go. It's 10 pages. It's probably 20 pages worth of words. I don't know what we'll get through or not, but I just will tell you that I promise to be led by the Spirit in this and all. But first, I wanted to say something. Susan and I feel extremely blessed to be a part of the Mountain Song community. And one of the things that is extremely evident to us is the powerful women that are in this house. This house is full of a powerful pastor in Carol Lee and Mata and staff like Susie and Colleen, but powerful women with powerful women voices in worship that are up here like Charity and Hope and Pastor Ben's daughter. Powerful voices, and your words matter, whether you're worshiping over us, whether you're declaring words over us like Abigail just did, your words matter, and they're full of weight and power in heaven. And I just feel blessed because where there are powerful women and powerful men and they come together, God has something for this house that will change this valley, but it will also affect our nation. And it will affect the nations. But first it has to start in our house. And for something to start in our house, it has to start in us. And this morning, while we were worshiping, and just bear with me, I'll go back and forth between glasses and everything, something just really stood out to me, so let me be a little disruptive at this moment. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. We just want to soak in your greatness, Lord. And we want you to take us where you want us to go. And I just think that it's just so interesting that that song is written by a group called Sons and Daughters. So part of what I want to talk to you today is about sons and daughters. But to get to that point, it takes us walking through sometimes things that are painful in our own lives to get there. So the title of kind of what I want to talk about today is, it's called Hiddenness and the Oid. And you spell Oid, O-O-O-I-D. And probably what you didn't know, that hopefully by the end of this that you'll come to know, is that you are an Oid. Every one of you. Male, female, it doesn't matter. Young, old. You're an Oid. And in that, I think with what the Lord has shared with me is you're going to receive some different things from Him today. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. If He moves you in something, let Him move you. If you feel you need to come to the altar anytime when I'm preaching, come to the altar, okay? We're open. We're not regulated by rules and regulations. We just want Him to be Him and who He needs to be for us. But I want to start off with a little bit of a story because I've had an interesting experience this week, and I felt for a little while that I was in a scene from a TV series on the Paramount Channel called Yellowstone. So I don't know if you watch Yellowstone or not. I've seen a few episodes. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but I experienced it for about a week leading up to it, but for 3 days this week, I believe that I lived in it. And it all had to do with a ranch and cattle and things that needed to go on and people showing up on property. You know, like somebody can show up in your life that you don't need in your life at that moment. And then Matt's looking at my face. You can't see it, but I've got a brush scar from here because I was herding cattle this week on a four-wheeler, and I went through some brush. So I got a little scar from it. So sometimes when we're moving things or we're moving people in our lives, we can get scarred just a little bit. But this is going to heal and it's going to go away. It's temporary. But the craziness of it is, with all the turmoil and all the chaos, what I had behind me was my wife Susan at home and other friends like Mitch and Michelle who were there praying for me while I'm on a battlefront and all this is going on. And in the end, it all worked out like it would on the end of a scene. Everything worked out the way it was supposed to be. And the end of the story. I even had somebody text me after the whole thing went on, and a new connection, a new friend, and he's like, you know, Ted, you should write a screenplay. You should make, you know, make this a movie. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know. we'll see about that. But a couple of months ago, Hope was sharing with us a message about hope. And a few weeks ago, Abigail was talking to us about how our Heavenly Father wants to bring us something called unshakable hope. And as Hope was talking that day, the Lord had me read a little bit further in the passage of Hebrews where she was at. So I'm in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that His promise and His vow will never change. And now we have to run into His heart to hide ourselves in His faithfulness. This is where we find His strength and comfort, for He empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God Himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone before us. He is now and forever our royal priest like Melchizedek. So, as I allowed God to start unpacking this with me, He began to take me into some places in my life. Because as we're sitting through this, you know, our lives are not without turmoil. I'm not without causing turmoil in our life, in our marriage, and with our kids. There are just things that happen, and a lot of these things happen because of our very nature. And I really needed the Lord to speak to me at that moment in time about what was going on inside of Ted and how hope and those things can come into our life because we were in a very tumultuous situation. But there's this part in this thing about unshakable hope, because that's where He's designed and created for us to live. But in the earthly realm, let's just say this is the heavenly realm, the third heaven up with Him in heaven here. And this is the earthly realm over here that we're walking, eating, sleeping, and living and breathing in. This is a little chaotic. And in it, God says, hey, Ted, I got a place where you need to be. And I'm like, okay. He goes, you want unshakable hope. And Susan will tell you, not a lot shakes me. I'm probably overly optimistic. I'm probably over-leaning towards the side of giving someone the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes I'm not direct enough in my communication with people. And I can have way too much up in here or in here that can't get out here. So as He talks to me in here, He says, take a journey with me and come up into the heavenly realm. So I say, okay, I'll come over into the heavenly realm with you. And now I'll sit and I'll be quiet. And I'll listen. And as I'm in that place of sitting and being quiet and listening, he then starts to talk to me as a son. He says, Ted, you want unshakable hope. I have a place where you can go and get that. And I'm like, okay, God, where is it? There's so much turmoil in our life with employment and income and all these other things moving around. And who is Ted created to be? And what is he created to do in this world? It's probably no different than conversations that you have with him. We're all human. We're all from him. And we're all created in him. And so as this conversation continues and it unfolds, he goes, do you have a problem with me and knowing who I am for you right now? Or are you focused on who I was in the past? Because, Ted, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the one who's changing. I don't change, Ted. You're the one who needs to change. And in that, I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to change. Yes, I repent of things. Yes, you know, I apologize. Yes, Lord, I'm humbly before you. Where's that place, Lord? And then when you look in that scripture right there in Hebrews, he says, we have to run, okay? I'm over here, okay? I'm in earth. I got to run over to here because I need to hide myself in his heart. Sometimes I'm worried about hiding myself in my world. And Susan will tell you, I'll tell you, when I hide myself in my world, things have more of a tendency to go wrong than if I hide myself in his heart. Because if I hide myself in my heart, in his heart, then guess what? There was this day in the beginning whenever he said, let us make mankind in our image, male and female. We're going to make them. We're going to make them right over here. And he's playing in the dirt. Okay, guys, I played in the dirt this week. I played in a lot of other things, but I played in the dirt. All right? And then he breathed. But before he did that, up here, he started making Jeff in heaven. Larry, Susan, Nathan, Ted, Paul. He made us. We're already in heaven. And then he took this at some point in time and he brings it down and he puts it into here. And when he puts it down into there, then all of a sudden, things over here become very real. And I'm a crying, screaming, teardrop baby. I'm small. But then I grow into a man. So I've got this place now where I know he wants me to be hidden. And he says, Ted, come be hidden in me and hang out right here. Because if you'll hang out right here, I can deal with all the other things that are going on. So I think we just covered 4 pages. I don't know. So, all right. When we hide with him, okay? When we allow ourselves to be hidden, some very interesting things happen. And we look at the rest of this scripture in Hebrews, and we see that Jesus has already ran into a place for us over here in the earth realm. He's blazed a trail, okay? And in that trail, what he's done is he's created this path for us to hide in his heart. So I don't know. I'm going to be disruptive right now. I'm hitting the button. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you're in a relationship with him. I don't know if you know that you need him or not, but maybe right now in this moment, this is the moment where you say yes to him. I don't need you to get up here and come down. I don't need you to raise your hand. What he needs you to do is just say yes to him. Because when we say yes to him, he'll wreck us. Life with him is not easy street. Look at his son's life. And if you buy into a paradigm or theology that life with him is easy street, go back to the basics in the Word and start reading the Word. And you'll see that it's not. But if you don't know him, just say yes to him. In this moment, right now, quietly before him, just say yes. So he's created this dwelling place for us. He's created this place for Ted to hide with him. Psalms 91, sheltered under the wings, hidden in his heart. And as I'm dwelling with him, now what I can do, I realize that he's created this place that's up here with him on the mercy seat. It's what we grab a hold of whenever things are just terrible in our life, because we cry out for mercy. And he's there with us, and he brings it. But when we'll dwell in his heart, and when we'll minister from this place, that mercy seat, which sits on top of the holiest of holies, when we dwell there, and when we minister to people, just help them in their lives. Ministry is a kind word. It might be a gift of finances. It might be a courageous response. It might just be Larry cutting trees in somebody's yard and help them haul off firewood. But when we begin to minister out of the place of his heart, okay, I'm ministering from here. And I'm hidden in him. And it's not about me getting the glory or anything, because I've removed myself from here. But the hardest thing for Ted to do is to take these two boots that he has on today, and maybe it's you too, I don't know, and take those boots off and then move over into a place of being hidden. And in that, you know, I've got two parts, you know, of Ted in the real world. There's the man who worked. There was the man who was the Marine for 20 years, combat trained as a warrior. And as God began to open this up for me, he hit a place in my heart. And he's like, "Hey, Ted." I'm like, "Yeah, what?" "You got a problem." And I'm like, "Yes, Lord, I know that. Could you be more specific?" He goes, "Ted, you don't have a problem with unshakable hope. You've consumed enough of my word. You've worshiped me enough. You don't have a problem with unshakable hope." And I go, "Thank you, Lord. Could you be more specific?" He goes, "Ted, what you have a problem with is you have a problem being hidden. You don't have a problem with unshakable hope. Or, Ted, you don't have a problem with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But you have a problem with being hidden." And that's where I stand today, walking out this aspect of, "Okay, Lord, I get it." As a warrior, I'll tell you a short story. I was trained to hide. I was trained in how to build these things called hides and observation points where I could stay for hours, days, weeks, or months, depending on the supplies that we took in. I was trained to hide, be hidden, so that I could accomplish a mission. And that mission was to take the enemy out. Sometimes it was to report enemy movements so we knew where the enemy was headed so somebody else could take them out. But Ted, in the real world, out here, with his God-given DNA, has a problem with being hidden. And part of that is that battle, what we call the battle of the flesh. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against spirits and principalities and other things. So as a warrior, a trained warrior, I know the value of being camouflaged, covered, and concealed, and hiding. As this guy over here, there's a battle that goes on where I like to be on stage. I like to be heard. I like to be seen. Look at me. Hi. But this person has to decrease so he can increase. And that's why I need to keep. You may think I'm wearing a path, okay? I'm making a road between earth and heaven to stay hidden in his heart. But what I need to do in that is I need to create that path where now I don't have to move from earth. Heaven comes to here. And now I dwell and I operate from here, hidden in him. Not keep running back and forth. I mean, if I keep running back and forth, it's going to wear me out. It's going to wear my shoes out. So now I create this place with him of abiding and understanding what it means to be hidden. And so we live in a day and age, set the stage, where we are looked at. Our performance is judged. And that can cause conflict. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. I mean, just look at our president. He's probably on Twitter. Sometimes people think more than he's on the Oval Office. But you know what? Some of his tweets are very straight, very forward, very direct. But there's this aspect of, you know, people, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm wearing. Look what I'm promoting today. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, okay? But if that's what drives you, okay, if it's the look at me that's driving you, not you just being who you are, then that's where he works in my heart. So hidden here. It's not about how many followers I have. It's not about how many likes I get on a post. But for some, it's about how many followers they have. It's about how many likes they get. Because they're equating that with success. So, God's wired this guy right over here, Ted, in his DNA to be an achiever. So I don't know how you feel about taking personality tests. But Susan and I think I took it first. We took a test called the Strength Finders test. Show of hands, who's taking Strength Finders? If you haven't taken Strength Finders, take the Strength Finders test. Because that Strength Finders test, believe it or not, is going to help you understand in dialogue who you are. It's well worth whatever the investment is in it today, $15 per person or whatever it is. It is well worth it because it will help you understand who you are. So one of my strengths is I'm an achiever. Wow. Okay, Ted. You like to get things done. You like to finish things. You like to get them accomplished. You like to win. So, Ted in this state, not always hidden in his heart, fights this battle like you probably fight of what's on my resume. How many sales awards or trophies do I have on my walls? Who's patting Ted on the back today saying, good job? Who's patting you on the back saying, good job. Because part of this piece with our identity, okay? Because today what I'm talking about really is about my identity and your identity and who we are as sons and daughters, okay? Who we're created to be. So in that, now what I have to do is walk over into the place of, Lord, you were specific. And Susan will tell you, me as an achiever and a doer and can get wrapped up in busyness. That's been an ongoing battle. Because I can lose sight of being hidden right here. And a lot of people think, oh, well, you're hiding, you're not doing anything. Far from it. In this place of being hidden with him, a whole lot happens. And his kingdom comes. And his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Not Ted making things happen for you today, Lord. I'm going to get it done. I'm not discounting a to-do list or that we do have things that we have to accomplish in our lives. But part of this big struggle for Ted that Susan has had to endure and experience is, since before we met, I always had really, really good jobs. I always worked for Fortune, 500 or Fortune 100 companies. I started businesses. But one day, God began to unravel all the things where I found security because they were things that Ted could put his hands around and control. I wasn't over here being hidden. So he begins to have me work those things out in my life. He begins to give me a woman who has a voice who can speak into my life. Like for the last 3 days, praying and worshiping while I'm in a scene from Yellowstone. That's a sermon all in of itself one day, guys. But in this place of being hidden, there's two things that begin to battle. Because I have this opportunity to operate in something called fear. This guy right here, not hidden, is real susceptible to operating in fear. And maybe that's you. But I've got this 10, 12-year turmoil that's been going on with employment and ups and downs. And the frustrations that that brings and the things that it causes Susan and I to have to deal with, that I sit back and I go, what are you getting at? Why, Lord, look at my resume. I'm operating in fear when I say, Lord, look at my resume. Look at my resume, Lord. Why is that Fortune 100 company not calling me for an interview? Ted. Maybe you've forgotten you need to come up here. Why? Susan and I cannot tell you for in this period of time how many resumes I sent out. And you look at Ted on paper and you go, well, that doesn't make sense. You should have been called for that job. You're qualified to overqualified. You know, they would be getting an overqualified person for less money. That doesn't make sense. But what we fail to realize is that things in the kingdom, okay, because this is heaven. This is his kingdom. And if I operate from heaven in his kingdom, things don't always line up on paper. And Susan will tell you, I love to do some spreadsheets and put plans together. I love paper, okay? And I also love execution. But sometimes her voice is, hey, Ted, you need to put the paper down and you need to execute. Sometimes I don't listen to her voice. We just walked through a situation where she was saying and saying and saying, and yes, yes, and I was doing and had a path that I was on. But sometimes you need to listen to the voices that are around you, especially that voice, but your close circle voices. So this is fear. But you and I know that if we operate in fear, then I try to do all the man things to look a certain way, but I forget that I'm not wired. When he formed me, when they breathed, fear was not in there. Faith was. So I, for whatever reason, this morning I was rewriting some things on this. But the words, excuse my Texas accent, but the words of a poem from Robert Frost says this: two roads diverged in a woods. And I picked the road less traveled by. And it's made all the difference ever since. So if we look at it, we have two roads. I can have the road of fear that I operate in, or I can have the road of faith. But guess what? Fear and faith converge at a point. And I have to pick a road. And God was saying, look, in the world, the path, the road of fear is the road more traveled. So what are you going to travel, Ted? I'm going to travel the road of faith. That's the road less traveled. Guess what? It's not as smooth as the road of fear. It doesn't have potholes and bumps in it. This road over here, show of hands, who's walked roads of faith? I mean, are they interstate highways that are, you know, laid out for you with four lanes and 80 miles an hour? No. They're bumpy. They're hilly. They're muddy. They're fraught with danger. But if you choose the road less traveled and you listen to the prophetic word in that poem, it's made all the difference ever since. So now I got to deal with a couple of other things because I've asked him to be specific. So, okay, Lord, I get it. I have a problem with being hidden in you. I have a problem with you being out front, and we can deal with that. And it's a battle. It's like tug of war. So what's going on? He goes, well, let me tell you where the original battle came from. And I go, okay, Lord, tell me. So quickly back over to my notes. I think we're on page 6 by now, or 7. In Ezekiel 28, we have a story where it talks about Lucifer. And it talks about Lucifer and his struggle. And Lucifer was sitting there one day, and he starts thinking about who he is. And all of a sudden, he's like, hey, I'm as powerful as God. I can do this. I can do that. He became enamored with his beauty, it says. It's really, really. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Oh, hang on a second. So before he was cast out, he was in Eden, and that's a whole different sermon. But you were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, until wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones, because your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and it corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So at a point, Lucifer moves outside of being hidden in God. And when we move outside of that, what happens is it causes us to lose our place and our position. And as we lose our place and our position, what happens at that point is, now it's up to me to support everything. And I will tell you, I'm still learning lessons of when it's up to me to support things, how badly they can go wrong. I forget about being hidden. Because what happens in this game of I'm enamored with my beauty or my achievements or whatever it is, those things begin to validate me. They become my identity. They bring me pleasure. They make me feel good. Instead of, I need you. And all of these things create somebody that, I mean, have you ever heard the word poser? God's looking at you like, hey, poser. How's that going for you over there? Not good. I've caused turmoil and strife among people, among my wife and I, among my family. Come over here. Get out of fear. Get into faith. Be hidden in me. So, if there's this hidden place, this struggle right here is another list, okay? So we all know that there's Adam and Eve, and there's the story, we're familiar with it, where they're in the garden, there's two trees. You can eat from here all day long. Don't eat from here, it's bad. I say they're eating from here, but there's this disruptor now who's kicked out of heaven, and he says, no, come over here. You can have these things. Come over here. And he's enticing them to come over. And we don't know how long this story is. I don't think it was in a blink of an eye that Eve made a choice to eat the apple. Okay? I think he wore down. He wore Adam down. But they're both there together. We know they're both in the garden, and Adam's watching. She eats, gives to him, he eats. And our identity gets disrupted at that point. And we have to be very, very careful on how we identify that. Because prior to that, they're sons and daughters. After they rebel, just like you and I, guess what? They're still sons and daughters. That's your identity. Just because you eat of this tree, like I've eaten of this tree over here, it doesn't mean I lose my identity. You haven't lost your identity as a son or a daughter. You are not a sinner saved by grace. Grace allows you to deal with what keeps us apart. Okay? Yes, sin can separate. But if I'm going to close that, I run to the Father. That Cody Carnes song? Oh my gosh. Run to the Father. Oh, hang on a second. I'm back in hiddenness, okay? And in hiddenness, he works so much. And your story, Nathan or Susie or whomever is sitting here, your story of hiddenness is fraught with this, with the poser, with the battle of fear and the faith and choosing a road. That's my battle. Still my battle today, okay? I'm not in perfection. I won't be in perfection until when? So, now I start to deal with this, and I'm here. I go, okay, anything else specific? And he's like, yeah. Now, what does it take? What's the path for you, Ted, to stay here in this dwelling place? He's like, look, if you're over here, you're hiding. This is the hiding list. This is the list that Satan wants you on. He wants to keep you on his hiding list. If you hide things, like I've hidden things, if you're hiding from God because you're like, Gideon, sorry, nope, can't hear you. If you're hiding, okay, you're on the hiding list, it causes problems with staying hidden. So we have to get before him, and we have to clear those things out of the way. Has anybody else had a problem with the hiding list? Yeah, we have. But when I step back and I look at those things, I realize that in that place of hiding, okay, something is going on. And if I will allow myself to be here, okay, let's talk about a couple stories. Sorry, back and forth between the notes. We covered a lot of ground. Psalms 105, 19 through 21. A little story about Joseph in there. Three verses. God's promise to Joseph purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. Eventually, the king of Egypt sent for him, setting him free at last. Then Joseph was put in charge of everything under the king. He became the master of the palace over all the royal possessions. Joseph was hidden by God for a specific purpose. David was hidden by God for a specific purpose. Adam and Eve were hidden by God for a specific purpose. Our King Jesus was hidden by God for a specific purpose. So if we'll train ourselves as a warrior and we'll learn how to operate in hiddenness here, we'll realize it's a good thing. Because it puts us in position to be able to take the enemy out or pray for someone else who's taken the enemy out. And we don't worry about choosing the road of faith to walk on because we're going to walk it with him. Because if we stay here, we're not walking alone with him beside us. We're walking with him and where he wants us to go. I mean, that's my problem. Ted can get a path that he wants to go. But if I remember my warrior training, okay, I shouldn't worry about this over here. The Marine Corps trained the fear out of me. Any of you who've been in the military understand what I'm talking about. Or any of you who may have had parents who were in the military, you can train the fear out of people situationally. Because if I don't, then I can never act as a warrior when I get an order that says, Ted, take that piece of ground. Ted, pour into this life. Because if I make it about me, what happens is now I'm not ministering from the Holy of Holies. I'm ministering out of me. And I am weak, okay? The power of his name is strong if I use his name. But I am weak. But when I operate here, what's actually happening is I'm a conduit. And now it's not me, okay? It's you. So we got to get back to the oid, okay? Because I'm on the approach pattern to land this thing and get to where we need to be. What is an oid? Where did that term come from, Ted? So, Susan knows my dad. Anybody ever seen one of these? Little spiral notebooks. Got pages of paper in them. My dad learned from his dad, and he's used some type of little pocket notebooks his whole life. I have little notebooks from my grandfather on the cattle that he used to run, where he kept his cattle tallies, where he kept things that going on at his work. Maybe the Lord spoke to him and he wrote something there in his little, we got some little books. But my dad has a tendency to give us these things. And one day I'm driving down the road and the Lord says, "Oid." And I'm like, "What? Oid. Okay. How do you spell that?" So I pull out my paper and he goes, "OOOID." This is the original. Okay? And I'm like, "Okay. What's an oid?" Silence. And this is probably only a few years after Susan and I have been married. And so, nothing. How many times has the Lord said something to you and there's nothing? But then one day, I'm in my quiet time, and he goes, "Out of obscurity and into destiny." And I'm like, "What? Oid." I'm like, "Oh." So I grab my book and I write underneath it, "Out of obscurity and into destiny." Joseph had a moment when the Lord pulled him as a son out of all his crap, all that shaped him into who he was, and all that God put in from the beginning. He had a moment when Pharaoh pulled him out of prison and launched him into his destiny. David, Noah built an ark. Noah had probably, they said, you know, maybe archaeologically 200 years worth of work building that, maybe. That's a long time to be hidden. Well, Ted, you've had a 12-year plus maybe struggle with, you know, employment and that. What have you learned? That maybe I just walked out the other day a moment of destiny and where I'm supposed to be. And I was moved out of obscurity into destiny. And the funny thing is, there's the passage in Proverbs. And I love how it's written in the Passion Translation. "God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place." Oh, wait a second. There's another hidden place that we can get into. "In the hiding place of his glory. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says." He's hidden you and I in this amazing place called his glory. He hides us there for our protection and incubation. In this hiding place, it is our honor to thoroughly search out the deep meaning of who we are and what he created us to be. This glory zone is a forge. It is a place where we're thrust into the fire and we have impurities removed, beaten, and pounded into a shape and become the weapon of his warfare. It is necessary that we be hidden here in preparation for the missions that he has for us to accompany him on in subduing and having dominion in his kingdom. Today, all my hiding, all my hiddenness, he deals with. And I walk over into this place of his heart and now his glory where I'm hidden. And as I move in that and I operate from there, what happens is that moment comes. Instead of me waiting for the achievement list for me to get there, maybe that's like you, I don't know. But he deals with all that and he puts me in the moment of my destiny. I have an encounter with him, with an angel. I hear his audible voice, maybe for the first time. I have an out-of-body experience where I'm up with him in heaven. I have a dream and I'm able to interpret it or other people's dreams. He moves me into these destiny moments when he takes me out of obscurity and places me where I need to be. And today, that's what he wants you to do too. He wants you to have a moment with him where he says, look, you're being prepared. It's okay. I got you in the fire. I'm hammering on you, Ted. I'm hammering on you, Ron. I'm hammering, but I'm forging you into the weapon that I've created you to be. Where when I operate in him, all my giftings are just natural and they happen. So, this morning, as I'm closing now. We made it through page 43, I think. I don't know. But as we were in pre-service prayer, the Lord showed me two things. He showed Susan one. So what I'm going to do with this little red book, okay, is I'm going to talk to you about door number one that God showed me. This is for you, whoever you are. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is come and stand down by the door, socially distanced, okay? This is going to be door number one. Door number two is going to be here. Door number three is going to be over there. So, this is a word for somebody or somebodies. You are in a room and believe that you're confined to that room and you can't get out. There are no doors. The Lord says there are no doors on the hinges that are keeping you confined. The doorways are open. Walk through the opening. Nothing from me is holding you back. The doorways are open. The doorway you are to walk through looks blocked. It looks blocked. But the doorway is open and the door is not on the hinges. All you simply have to do is push it down and walk on top of what you think is blocking you. If that's you, door number one. Door number two. You need peace to flood your heart. Your heart is hard. God says, I'm healing your heart because I'm replacing it with mine. God is taking your heart of stone and he's crushing it with his loving hands. He is turning the stone into sand. And now he wants you to come and build a sandcastle with him and have some fun. He is also crushing the heart of stones of others around you. And you all will build sandcastles on the beach with him. Door number two. Door number three is Susan's. She heard it. The word is freedom. Freedom. So I want to speak freedom over you right now. Chains are breaking and hitting the ground. If you need freedom, you're door number three. Maybe none of those doors speak to you, and only people that God speaks to need to come down and stand at that door and just have a moment with him. We've got staff here that may come and stand behind you and pray. But move into the place of being hidden. It's better there. It's better there. All the earth will shout your name. The earth will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.